no matter where he puts you, you go, oh, what do you want me to do here, God? Who do you want me to reach right here? Every situation is one more situation to praise him, thank him, and do whatever he wants you to do in that situation. Run your race. Seeing that immediate goal, that to eat the flesh of Christ and drink the blood of Christ. Eating the flesh of Christ means do what he did in the flesh.
Yep.
Live like he did in the flesh. Consume the word until it consumes you.
Right.
See Jesus. How did he live in the flesh? That's how we live. And the blood is the mercy, the forgiveness. Live with mercy and forgiveness.
Amen.
We have a goal. Our dads might have punished us because we got on their nerves. But dad does it. Our dad, God, does it for our profit. That we might be partakers of his holiness. That's the biggest goal for us, to have Christ formed in us. Be partakers of his holiness. Jesus lives in you.
Yes.
If you're saved, the Holy Spirit came to live in you.
Right.
He's living in you. You should think different. You should feel different. You should have a more acute conscience than you used to have. Before you met him, you made excuses for everything you did. Now it should grieve you, seeing
yes.
the wrong of those things, and not want to grieve your dad.
Right.
If the Holy Spirit really lives in you, then you have the right as his child to walk in his light. Step into his holiness and allow his holiness to live out through you. Or step in the flesh and walk in our fleshly thoughts and receive thoughts from the enemy until his spirits are ruling our life. For we want the holiness of God. We want to be partakers. His holiness is there. We want to partake of that holiness. We want to join him in his holiness and let that him live out through us. I am amazed that my first thought is almost always flesh. Almost always. You know, somebody does something really horrible, and our first fleshly thought is like, well, if that's their choice, they don't want God, then they've made their choice and they can do that. And then you go pray and God says, oh no, we can't let them go. We need to pray for them and love them and bring them back and forgive them. And go, I knew he'd say that. It's not our first thought. We have to partake his holiness. We have to get in oneness with him. No chastisement seems to be joyous. It's grievous. But afterwards, these things God's going to bring to you in your training, you might not like them. But afterwards, they're going to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto those who are exercised thereby. They're going to yield the righteousness of God in our life. So lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest you be turned out of the way. The lame get turned out of the way, but we don't have to be lame. In our weakness, he's made strong. All we have to do is yield. Move into the light and let him do it. Nothing's too hard for God. There is a race before us, and everything on that path is not wonderful fun, but the hardest things are the greatest teachers. Jesus didn't walk an easy path. If he was our example, then why do we think we're supposed to have everything easy all the time? He lived a sacrifice life. He laid a life laid down and lived for others, not himself. No selfishness on it. Look beyond our goals and see what we're called to do. And God has a bigger goal than us. You know, sometimes our goals are, I want God to bless my marriage. I want God to bless my money. I want God to give me a house. I want God to do this. That's our goal. But what is his goal? What is his purpose for your life? Do you know? He wants you to know. He wants you to know what you're called to do, who you really are, what you're here for. When you begin living your purpose, you're happy. You have an inner peace. Even if they're killing you and throwing you in jail, you're at peace because you know you're doing what you're here for. But when you're trying to find happiness in things, it never works. It just doesn't work. Verse 10, our greatest goal is to be partakers of His holiness, to live in a oneness with God. A couple of instructions on our path. Follow peace with all men. Try to be at peace with men. Now, that doesn't mean compromise. You have to speak truth, but you speak it in love. Look diligently. Be aware, lest you fail the grace of God. That's verse 15. If you've never read that, I don't like that verse. Look diligently. Be careful, unless you fail the grace of God. Grace is the divine influence of God upon your life and the reflection of that in your life. Grace is the desire and the power to do the will of God. Yep. So if His divine influence comes to your life and you say, no, you failed the grace. You said no to the grace of God.
Right.
God says, I want you to do this. And you go, I don't want to. I'm not doing it. You just failed a grace test.
That's right.
You said no to His divine influence, and you didn't let it be reflected in your life. Now, I tell this story, and it sounds really silly, but I'm going to tell you the cow story again. I was driving down the highway years ago. God said, there's a cow out in that field. I want you to pull off the road and pray for her. I said, no way. God's not going to tell me to pray for a cow. He couldn't tell me to pray for a cow. That wouldn't be God. Whatever it was, God, okay, God, I will. He said, too late. You're on a highway. You can't turn around, and the moment is gone. You didn't obey the moment I said it. The opportunity is gone, and the door is shut. You lost it. Would God tell me to pray for a cow?
Oh, yeah.
Later on, when I had my two little sheep, and we were giving them to some Amish farmers, there was a cow. I'm watching my sheep go off in the field, and this cow is crying and crying and crying. And I'm like, God, what is wrong with that cow? He said, pray for her. I'm praying for that cow. I'm not losing that opportunity again. As I pet her and I prayed for her, God told me that she had birthed a baby calf and they took her baby away from her. They do that at milk farms so that they get more milk out of that mom. They feed the baby and they keep over-milking her to increase her milk. She was crying for her baby. God wanted to comfort her. He cares about the cow. First time God told me to dance in church, I said no. Nobody else is dancing, and I'm just old and fat and going to look stupid, and I'm not going to do it. I grieved all day long. I grieved. Holy Spirit living in me grieved. I had a horrible day. I told God, no, I am so miserable. God is crying. He's sad. He's grieved because I told Him no. I failed a grace test. And I said, I will not ever tell you no again, God. I will never tell you no again. Went back to church that night, and He said, get up and dance. Oh, darn. But I did it immediately. I did it. And within, I don't know, a couple of weeks, there was 40 people up dancing all over that church. They broke free because I broke free.
Right.
God wanted to do something through me that would have been missed if I told Him no.
Right.
I don't know why I had to dance in front of people. Why couldn't I just dance at home? You can't reason with Him. You just have to obey Him.
Amen.
He knows what He's doing, and He knows what you're here for, and He knows how to get you ready, and you have to realize He works through people. He works through authorities, and He tells them to tell you to do things you don't like. It builds character.
Amen.
It builds character, and we need character. We need that character. The warning in verse 25, do not refuse Him that speaks. Do not refuse Him when He speaks. Let us have grace. Let us receive that grace. For our God is a consuming fire. When the fire comes, it either purifies us or it scourges and hurts. I'd rather get purified the first time I meet it than to go through the scourging and pain and then end up giving in. So I know it's a tough message, but it is a message of love. It really is a message of love because He's a good Father, and He wants you to be ready. He wants you to be ready. One of my gifts is the prophetic, and He shows me things that are coming. Sometimes He shows me things about people. And It's a goodness of God. He is so good that if you won't train and you have to live here when the devil increases and he starts doing hard things to Christians, but you won't get ready for that, then God is so good, he might just come down and say, son, you didn't get ready. You're not ready. They would just beat you to death and you're not ready for it. Just come on home with me. You don't have to be part of it. Just come on home. Sometimes he just takes people home out of the goodness of his heart because they didn't accept their training. Sometimes he takes them home because they're not even supposed to train. They weren't born for this thing that's coming. That was my mother. And, you know, you ever read the verse where it says, the one about a fool, reprove a fool and don't reprove a fool. How's that worded?
Answer.
Answer not a fool according to his folly. And then God says, answer a fool according to his folly. He says both opposite things. What do we do with that? We know when to answer and we know when not to answer by asking him.
Right.
God told me not to give in to death. He said, death is your enemy and you need to learn to fight it and don't give in to death. Don't let it intimidate you. You stand up and tell death no. Right after that, my mom is ready to die, and I'm like, I'm going to fight death. And he said, no, let her die. Why? I'm ready to fight death and not give in. And he said, no, she has not been put here for end times. She has not spent a life preparing for end times. She did everything he wanted her to do with his life, her life. And when I asked my mom, is there anything that you didn't finish? She said, no. I have done everything that God wanted me to do, and I'm ready to go. And she laid in her little hospital bed saying, oh, Jesus, he's here. He's here to get me. Can I go? She wanted to go. It was her time to go. She wasn't born for end times. Some of you in this room are born for end times. Some of you in here need to make a decision. Am I going to be a soldier for Jesus, or am I going to just keep doing whatever my buddies are doing, whatever my friends want me to do, whatever I like to do, whatever's fun? You know, we're in trouble in America because it's a fun country. Let's play video games. Let's watch movies. Everything's about how comfortable and how much fun we can have and what do other people think about me. It's time to decide if you're going to be a soldier and stop worrying about what others think of you and decide you care about being on God's side of this final war. Whatever it takes. Not if you're not mad at him, not if you're not mad at your trainer, not if he gives you everything you want, but no matter what, if they imprison me, if they kill me, if they beat me, if my friends die all around me. You know, I can't think of what was happening. My old memory is just, I would be glad when youth renewal gets here. We were talking about not being able to grieve. Not being able, maybe I was talking to you, not being able to grieve long was one of those movies. The kids. The mom and dad died and the little boy had to take all his siblings out and find homes where they could grow up. That little boy somehow got prepared. When his mom and dad died, he had younger brothers and sisters. He had to take them and go through that village and find a home for each one of them. That little boy couldn't just lay on the floor weeping, I don't know what to do. I don't have a mom and dad. I don't know how to function. Somebody take me to a psychiatrist and give me a year of counseling and therapy before I can function. When this war gears up and the devil hits you, you can't be saying, well, don't you understand? I just had a hard time and I need 6 months to get over it. There's going to be a day, war. In war, when your buddy standing by you gets shot and he's laying there in blood and he's dead, you can't get down in the ground and say, I'm so sorry, this is really hurting my heart. You're going to be dead with him. You got to take cover and start shooting at the enemy before he gets you too, or your buddy on the other side of you. We're coming into war zone. We need to be soldiers. It doesn't mean we don't have compassion and love. It doesn't mean God won't heal you. But we need trained responses when the devil attacks. Trained, ready responses. We don't have them. We are not there. Anger rules most of us. Try not to lose your temper. Anger is an evil spirit. But when somebody does something that makes you really mad, Try not to lose your temper. You don't win that battle sometimes, do you? Because you have not defeated that enemy of anger.
That's
right. Selfishness. Pride. Pride's the biggest one there is. We haven't defeated those enemies. God wants us to defeat them. He wants us to learn how to defeat them. That's what it's all about. Won't you be happy on the day that anger comes along like a dynamite bomb and wants to explode through you and you simply say, huh, not a chance, go away. And it disappears.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I was raped when I was a teenager by two men. For years, I was intimidated by a spirit of rape. Let me tell you this, guys. You might not even know that you have a rapist living in you. But if you've ever watched movies where they were raping women and you got kind of excited about that and liked what you were seeing, that spirit moved into you. And I know. Because when any time, I know that spirit. And when we'd be in a prayer circle with godly men and I'd hold the hand of a man, I'd go, there's a spirit of rape in him. Being a good man, didn't even know he had a spirit of rape in him. He picked it up off TV. And I'm going, oh, I can't stand here. I can't stand here. I can't stand by that man. I have to move. I'm intimidated. I'm terrified by him. He didn't even know it. Until God took me through some healing where I faced my rapist with God. And I chose to forgive them. And I conquered that spirit of fear. And now I could just sit down to dinner with that rapist and minister God's love to him and help him get delivered. Spirits intimidate you. They own you. They rule you. They control you. And you can't get free. But we're going to get free if
Amen.
We move into this advanced training,
Amen.
Learning to take those enemies out so God gets more room in us. So, it's on. It's on. It's coming. And you get to make a decision. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? Whose army are you going to be in? Are you just going to be a victim and get wiped out? You know, the first step to be in the army is the Spirit of God has to be living in you. None of it works if he's not living in you. And, you know, there's a lot of churches you might have gone to that there's two ways sometimes the church went. There's the earn your salvation by doing good works. That's garbage. And then there is churches that said, just say this prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart and live in me. Now you're saved. No. There's a repentance towards God. There's a decision, a changing of your mind. Kevin defined repentance, changing your mind. There's a decision. I want God. I want his ways. I do not want my ways, my life. I want God to be my God. I want to know him. I want the relationship. Because you see, eternal life is to know him. And we can know him intimately. And when we want that and choose that, then there is Christ on the cross, because you can't have a relationship with God with your sin in the way. Then there is coming to Christ. Oh, thank you that you died on that cross for my sin. God, I am guilty. I don't deserve you, but I receive you as my Savior. That your blood was the payment for my sin. You see, blood carries sin. You all are born a sinner because you got blood from your dad who was a sinner, who got blood from his dad who was a sinner. Sin travels through the blood. You get your sin nature in your blood. Never met my dad, my real dad, but he was an alcoholic. I had all the tendencies of being an alcoholic, but I chose not to. So you can choose against your sin nature. But I did lie and steal a lot of my dad's piggy bank and, you know, skip school and do all kinds of other sins. I had to bring all my sin to Jesus to be cleansed by his blood, because he didn't have any sin in his blood and he never committed a sin. Holy Spirit impregnated his mother. Miraculously, she carried that baby without an earthly father, with only the blood given by God himself. No sin. So Jesus never had to die. When he died, he volunteered to die instead of you, that his blood would pay for your sin when you accept him and choose God. If you haven't done that, he's not even alive in you. If you've never had any change in you where you see things different. There is a grieving when you know that you've sinned against God. There is a love. You've met Him. He's real. If you haven't done that, you need to come first and accept Christ. That's step one. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Who else are you calling?
Not you.
This wasn't one of those lovey-dovey little feel-good messages, was it? Are you called to be a soldier? I'm just asking you. What?
It wasn't fault but me and that.
You're energized,
right? Well, I'm asking. Because I'm going to tell you something. God loves you no matter what. God loves you. But you know what? America's raising a whole bunch of mamby-pambies. Some of them don't even know if they're men. Okay? God called you to be a man and a woman, whatever He called you to be, you know what I'm saying? A man or a woman, not both. But, you know. And He gave... I know it. Isn't that cool? My wife sometimes will teasingly say to me, this morning I couldn't find my wallet. You want to pray for me? I think I lost my wallet. But whatever. Yesterday. Got some gas. I remember when I got it, but I can't find my wallet, right? So she says, what was I talking about? Oh, she goes, she says, have you looked with your feminine eyes? And I said, I don't have feminine eyes. I got male eyes. That's all I got, you know. But you know how men, you know how sometimes we can't find stuff and then the woman goes, look for it. It's right there in front of you, you know. She says, put on your female eyes, you know. God has a call on our life. God has a purpose for you being here. It's not to see how many clothes you could own, women, okay, or change in one day, okay? It's not, guys, to see how big a truck you could have with how big a tires, you know, and how many deer you can kill and all the other stuff. No, it's not. It's just stuff He lets us do, okay? He has a purpose. Now, His purpose... to coming to earth, what was His purpose for coming to earth? Watch this. His purpose for coming to earth was her. His purpose for coming to earth was Him. His purpose for coming to earth was Him. Her. Him. Do you understand? His purpose for coming to earth was you. Now, one of the things He did in me... was He said, Harvey, I designed you and my purpose in your life is I want to reach people through you. So what does that mean, God? He says, I want to bring them to, so that you can help them to know me. That's my purpose. Is to help you to know Jesus, to walk with Him, to live with Him, to find out what it is you are here for, to fulfill your life. Because you could do all kinds of things and feel good about it, but somehow inside there's still some place you're empty. Do you know what I'm talking about? You tired of feeling empty? You want to find out what you're here for? It starts with Jesus. If your life was a puzzle, Jesus is the missing piece. Okay? And when you're happy, when you are content, when you are fulfilled, like earlier when we were having church here, Ken, and they were playing the music, did you experience Jesus? I'm sorry, did you? How about the rest of you? Did you sense God, experience God? Tori, this is your first time here. Was God here? Isn't that amazing? She just showed up. We hadn't even taught her all the answers yet. She's already got it right. You know? Isn't that cool? She just like picked it up like right away. Isn't that like so cool? And she's just a kid. Isn't that cool? Now God's here, right? And you experienced God. Now I don't know, but do you like it when... when, like, do you like it? Stand up. You like it? Now, don't kick that thing over. You like it when you get a hug?
Yes.
Huh? See, you come here very long, and I start coming to you, and every one of you starts throwing your arms open, you know? Every one of you, you know you're going to get a hug. And you must like it because you keep coming back. And when you get around me, y'all throw your arms open, you know? You're like conditioned response because you like that. Well, what I'm saying is Jesus, right, Elena? Right? Got to have my weekly hug, okay? That's what some of the kids come up to me and say, where's my hug? Where's my hug? You know, I love it. First thing he said to me, where's my hug? That what you were sensing that earlier, like during the music, and you were sensing like the presence of God, the life, the love, the peace, the joy, the presence of God, wouldn't you like to experience that more? It's not coming to church more. It's living church more. You understand? It's living Jesus when you leave here. See, this is not a collection center. We're not trying to just get a bunch of people in here. Ten. This isn't about just getting a bunch of people in here. Muharram. We want to get a lot of people in here. But it's like that's not our goal. Our goal is to help the people that do come here to get empty of all the stuff that's not God. Self, sin, Satan, the world system, and your stinking thinking. You know, they film it in Hollywood, they pipe it by sewer pipe, and they show it through the television. And then we have stinking thinking and wonder why. Get rid of all that stuff and then get filled up with God. Filled up with the love of God, the life of God, where you want to give, you want to hug people, you want to help other people, you want to minister to their needs. Do you see what I'm saying? You want to find out and fulfill and enter into what you were created for. That's what all this is about. This is a training center for ministers. This is a training center to teach you how to be a soldier for Jesus. How to walk with Jesus. Now, if you want to be a wimp, it's okay. Go be a wimp. And we're going to keep loving you. Even if when we go to hug you, we can't find your backbone because you're a jellyfish. It's okay. We're going to love you. You don't have to be a soldier. But if you're not a soldier, you're going to fall. If you're not a soldier, you're going to fall. If you don't learn how to stand, you're going to fall. I forgot your name, young lady in the purple. But she came to us a week ago and she said, is it okay if I share what you said? Okay. She said, there was a time in my life I was homeless. And she says, I want to go downtown and help the homeless. Like, take food down there and feed homeless. And she said, and I tried to do that, and they told me downtown that I had to be through a ministry. She said, would y'all, and we said, by all means. But see, what she needs to do now, before she really goes and does that, is she needs to come and learn some things so that she gets strengthened up, because I'm going to let you know, if she doesn't, she's going to get hurt. She's going to get devastated. She's going to get blown away. And then she may become a castaway and just and be one of these casualties that we find, all these people that have been in church or with God and they're not with God anymore. They're not planted anymore because they didn't learn how to get strong. Do you know that when we're talking here, when my wife was talking, isn't that cool? Her talking, that sounds like something I'd be preaching, what she was doing. Here she is, you know, little girl doing this. When we talk, when we do the things here, do you know that we love you? Yeah. Number one, I need to know that. Do you know that we love you? Yeah. Like no ifs, ands, or buts? Yeah. Like unconditional love? Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that? I'm looking at you. Do you know that? Yes? Yes? No. Yes? We love you. And do you know that the things that we say are to help you build your life? We're not trying to cookie cutter you. We're trying to help make you strong in your life. So you go through a day and you know how to handle life as it's coming to you. And you know how to get the victory. You begin to get the victory in your life where anger can't just take and lead you around any way it wants. Okay? Where lust can't just take you. Where, and you go, oh man, I wish I... You're in prison. And oh man, I wish I, you know, hadn't done that. Because there's so many guys, when I go to prison or go to jails to minister, that's what they all say. Man, I just did that one... No, you didn't just do one thing. You did a bunch of things. You just got caught for one thing. The problem is that you did not learn how to stand. You let others lead you. You let other spirits live in you. You made choices that hurt you. And we're trying to help you to grow you. But you have to make a choice. And that's what this is about today. You need to make a choice. God, I want to grow up. Go ahead. You want to give a testimony?
Give a testimony.
Oh, gosh. I love God so much. And there are so many times that Satan has tried to drag me away from this church with different things, with my son, with drinking, with men, with... And there were things that Satan told me that, oh, look, they did this because, you know, it's just not true. I mean, God is so great. And there's so many people here that love me and they don't. I mean, no matter what I do, for some crazy reason, they just, we're still going to love you and... Oh, please, if you'll just believe one thing, if you'll believe one thing at this church, is that every person in leadership here cares for us so much that they're willing to put their own life on hold for us, that they're willing to stand with you. That they are willing to put up with us no matter what. And that even if we speak to them horribly, and even if we think bad things, that they're there and they're going to continue to be there. And if there's something that we need help with and that we need to make a decision about, whether it be a small, teeny tiny decision like... I don't know. What should I have for dinner tonight? They're willing to talk about that. Or if it's a major decision, like, what do I need to do for my family to get it closer to God? They're willing to sit there with you for hours and just listen to you. This church has stood by me for almost 4 years. And they've stood with my family. And I love them for that. And the love... that you feel from them, you know it's from God, because you and I could not have that kind of love. And if you will just come here, and if you'll just listen, and if you will just do what Pastor Harvey and Pastor Sue and whoever else God gives you to help you and to listen to you, if you'll just listen to even half of what they say, you will just... I am so blessed. I am so incredibly blessed. I have a job from 8 to 4. I have... an apartment. I have a nice car. I may not like my job every day, but there's a purpose in it. There's a purpose. And if we will just be grateful to what God has given us, He wants to bless us so much more. He wants to bless you. He loves you so much. I'm just so thankful, and I'm very thankful that I found this church. And I just really hope that all of you will continue to learn from this church, and you just don't listen to what Satan tells you, because it's not true. It's just not true.
Joy has gone away and come back a few times. Patty is her mentor. And that's what I wanted to point out. God did not make me Joy's mentor. I love her, and I've been included on some of the issues. But he placed her first in Tana's, in Wayne's family, that whole family, and then also into Tom and Patty's family. And we have a really good, strong ministry team here. So it's up to God. You don't even get to choose who trains you. God does that. I don't even get to choose who I train. God chooses for me. And he tells us, this one is for you. This one is for you. God does the choosing, and when he does, he plants that person so deep in your spirit. You know they're yours. You have the wisdom for them. You have the love. You have the grace for that person. So it's a God thing. He puts it together. So, and I want you to know, if you want that kind of training, you let us know, and we'll begin to pray about who your mentor is here. But if you're not ready for that, I don't want you to be under any guilt or condemnation if that's not where you're at. Maybe you're just at a point where you just need a whole lot of healing right now. Maybe you're just coming out of curiosity to find out what's going on here. Everyone is welcome to come. Everyone is accepted and loved. Today's message is for those who are being called into that training because it's their time. If that's you, let us know, and we'll make sure you have a mentor. We'll begin to pray about that. But you're all welcome here, whether you're at that stage or that point, if you're ready or not.
You're never forced into anything here. Everything we do because we love God.
That's right.
So why don't we do this? Why don't everybody stand for a second? And when you stand up, Tim, everybody, let's stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Can you stand up? There you go. All right. It's my cousin, Tim. I want everybody to close their eyes for a second. I just want you to, in your heart, you got your eyes closed? In your heart. I know you want Jesus. Do you want to give your... I'm not asking you to give your life to Jesus. I'm asking you to give your heart to Jesus. Because without your heart, you can't live. Do you want to give your heart to Jesus? Do you want Jesus to hold your heart? Why don't you just come up here and just kneel at this altar and just tell him, Jesus, I want to give you my heart. I am giving you my heart right now. I don't want to take it back. I want to give you my heart. I want you to live your life through me. I want you to control my life. I don't want to hold my life back in any way. I don't want sin. I don't even want control anymore, because I'm tired of where I take my life. I want you to take my life. I want to give you, Jesus, my heart. I want to give you my heart. Now maybe today when she was speaking, it was dealing with you about what God's calling you to do, God's purpose for your life. Do you know God's purpose for your life? Maybe you need to come and ask him, God, what's your purpose for my life? What are you doing? What do you want to do? Where do you want to take me? Or God, I just want to commit to becoming a soldier for Jesus. It starts with humility. Pride keeps you from God. Pride keeps you from God. If right now God's calling you, just humble yourself and just come and just say, Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want to be prepared for that soldier you want me to be. I want to be prepared. I want to stand. I want to charge hell with a squirt gun. I want to kick the devil where it hurts. I don't want him. I'm tired of him kicking me. Come. If he's calling you, come. 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 God, I can't do this without you. God, I want your training in my life. I submit to that. I commit to that. God, I'm tired of fighting with you. I'm tired of arguing. I'm tired of my fleshly response of, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm tired of being a rebel. I want to be a submissive subject, Lord. I want to be trained. You want to come? Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? Going? 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 So pray. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm going to tell you what. The first time I went to the altar, 1977, about three services in the church, it was so awesome, such a relief, such a peace inside of me. I said, I don't ever want to not have this. So for 25 years in a row, every time there was church, I went forward to the altar because I said, I just want to live. I don't ever want to argue with God again. I was a rebel. No way. I was a rebel. I said, no way. Don't want to do that anymore. Going? Okay. I'm saying come, but it's going, going, gone. All right. We love you. We're going to close service. I don't want you to leave here without hugging three people. Yes, sir.
Five since I've came here, I was always flipping out every day. I would run off from my mom. And for granted, I still do that sometimes. But right now, God has given me so much, so many things to do rather than defy my mom and do all these things. And I think throughout these 5 years that I've changed a lot, that I've gone from flipping out every day to flipping out at least only once a month. And I think he's going to help me through the rest of that to where I don't flip out at all.
Now, do you hear that? Do you hear that? Good night. See, sometimes we want to wait until everything's all wonderful and then get up and give a testimony. Well, what about if you give a testimony right when you're in the middle of all the mess? And say, hey, I'm still in a mess, but God's still good and He's working in me. Isn't that cool? All right. There's a verse. It says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. The reason we don't give up on you is because Jesus doesn't give up on us. And he said, he designed me in such a way where I don't ever give up on anything. That's why I'm a pack rat. I can't get rid of anything, you know? I just realized that the other day when my wife was talking to me about it. She says, what about all this trash? I'm like, I don't know how to get rid of anything. But I see, I can't get rid of anybody either. So no matter what you do or how you treat me or what you say about us, we're going to keep loving you. And we're not going to give up on you. And we're just going to keep believing in you. I want you to get three hugs before you leave. And you can start with one right here. I got this big hug that wants to hug everybody. All right? So let's have a word of prayer. But you make sure you get three hugs before you leave. You hear me? All right? All right. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for these people. Thank you for the people that you surround us with. Because I know they really want you. And I'm asking you to bless them and keep them safe during the week. Please protect them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.